Some of you, I'm standing here. I don't normally, as bishop, go around different churches in the Kensington area carrying with me my bow and arrows, but I brought them here today. This is my prop for this morning's talk, and I have a reading. Well, the reading's going to be in two parts, but it's one reading from Genesis. I thought that with all the floods that we've had during January, the wettest month since, well, the last time we had a wet January, and very nearly the tides, as you know, very high this morning, and we very nearly had to come by boat to be here today with you. But I'm glad that the tide went back down at the right moment, so we were able to get out of our house and arrive safely. And we're going to hear in a moment, Joe's going to read to us the first part of the story of Genesis, and then I'm going to explain to you why I've got this prop and why it relates to the story of Noah in Genesis. But before we get to that, the first thing I wanted to tell you about this bow and these arrows, I went all around Kingston yesterday trying to buy some toy arrows, and none of the toy shops in Kingston had any toy arrows anywhere. Lots of Nerf guns, but no toy arrows. And so I had to craft my own. So these are handcrafted arrows, and I have a target. And the target is, some of you may have noticed, it's up here in the organ loft. And I'm glad that there is no musician up in the organ loft at the moment. That makes it a safer target practice. There are one or two churches I visit where actually the incumbent would quite like me to aim arrows at the organ loft, but I'm not here. I'm going to try and see if I can hit that target. This is kind of tied into, there's one verse from, our main reading is coming from Genesis, but one verse from the New Testament that kind of frames our thoughts around the story of Noah in Genesis. Because in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Absolutely everyone. That includes all of us here today. All of us through our sinful hearts, our sinful actions, have fallen short of the glory of God. And the image he's using there is the image of firing towards a target that none of us can meet. And I'm about to show you how poorly I am at being able to meet this target. It may be that someone is going to prove that these do a lot better. I'm going to have the first arrow. What a good move. Very wise. I'm going to have the first go, and then I've got two other arrows, so maybe someone else would like a go at the other two arrows. So here we go, first shot at the target. Will this fall short? Yep, that's gone. Got the flowers, but not the... Anyone like to have second... Okay, would you mind having a second shot? Just feel the top of that arrow. That's quite good, isn't it? That's why we're aiming in this direction, not towards anyone else. Okay, have you done this before? Okay, you know, okay. I'll tell you what, will you just come in? I don't want to lose any of our confirmation candidates before. So if you come and stand here, okay? And you kind of get yourself in position. See if you can hit the target. That was good. That was a lot better than mine. One, well done. Yeah, give them a round of applause. One more. And we better make sure that we ought to have a girl at this point. I know there's lots of boys' hands up. Yeah, fantastic. Would you mind? Just because it may be that there's kind of hidden talents. What's your name?
Bella.
Bella. Okay, Bella, see if you can get the target. Right. Try and aim. It was going in the right direction, but it fell a long way short. Bella, thank you. A round of applause for Bella. We can get back into place, and there's the arrows safely away for the time being. Now, of course, as I hoped, no one, perhaps because my arrows were so poor, no one got the target. And that's what was in the mind of the Apostle Paul when he was describing the glory of God, and yet how far we are from God's glory, from God's standard of love and perfect justice. And this isn't just because of what we do. This is a condition of humanity going right back to the time that Adam and Eve first chose to turn away from God's will for their lives and to begin to run their lives their own way. And the consequences of that, that first sin, first rejection of God's perfect place in their lives, well, that began straight away to ricochet down through human history. And by the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, things have just been going from bad to worse and even worse. And when you get to Genesis chapter 6, it becomes quite obvious that not only were most of the people falling short of the standard of God's glory, of God's perfect love and justice, they're pointing in completely the different direction away. They had no desire to honor God or to seek him, and except for a few, and in particular somebody called Noah, and he resisted the pressures all around him to kind of aim in a different direction. He wanted to live for God, and he led his family in that direction. And we're going to hear the first part of the story of Noah. So Joe, where's Joe? Oh, fantastic. Joe's going to read that for us. If you want to follow it through, I think the page numbers are in the Bible.
Okay, so the first reading is from Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 to 15 and 22. And that's on page 8 in your Bibles. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Noah did everything just as God commanded him.
So there's a really key verse there, chapter 6 and verse 12. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. They were all working away from God. They weren't even trying to do what would please God. They weren't interested in that, except for one man, Noah, and his family, who were trying to live for God and to give glory to God. And what we're reminded in this story is that from the very beginning, God has not chosen to overlook the problems of our world. God will not overlook human sin and rebellion. And at this point, he intervenes decisively. He exercises his perfect love and his perfect justice by dealing with this human sin. And all the consequences, there was a word that came up there, the word violence. It had become an incredibly violent culture. And God stepped in. And sometimes we can feel like that. When we see something, someone behaving in a manner that's violent, maybe we see it in the news or on television, or we see it sometimes just on the streets, and it can make us feel quite sick inside when we see someone acting violently, and something inside us just says, no, that's not right. Someone should intervene. And when we get that feeling, that thought, that's part of the fact that we're made in God's image, and something in us, deep down, actually is repelled by that. And we want someone to do something about it. And sometimes we even say, God, why won't you do something? And God says, I have and I will. Because he is a God of perfect love and perfect justice. And so God intervenes decisively at this point in human history. And he causes a great flood to come upon the earth. And this flood rises, and unlike the floods we've had in the last few weeks, which have gone down again, this flood just kept rising. You imagine what that would be like if the floods just kept rising. All the floods we've had just kept going and going and going until the whole world was flooded. That's what happened in Noah's day. But Noah had been told by God to prepare an ark, to make an ark that would be a place of safety from the flood, from God's judgment. And that's what Noah did. People thought he was crazy doing it. They came and mocked him and thought he was just ridiculous. And yet when the floods came, Noah and his family went into the ark and they took two of all the animals into the ark. And for 40 days, those floods came upon the earth. And the floods rose and God destroyed all the people on earth, all the animals. God was going to remake creation. And then, after the floods finally began to go down, once God had acted in perfect love and perfect justice, the floods went down and eventually the ark came to rest. And Noah and his family came out into this new beginning that God had made. And I thought we ought to hear now about that new beginning. So Joe, sorry to get you up again, but we're going to hear just a few words from the last part of the Noah story, and then I'll tell you where my bow and arrow comes in again.
So the second reading is from Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 to 17, and that's on page 10 of your Bibles. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth."
Great. Thank you, Joe.